Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, welcome to His Stories Broadcast and also podcast. And we're so glad that you're here. And as what you heard on the introduction with Marquito, that this is a place in which we hear what God is doing in people's lives. And we have a great guest this morning. And so let's go ahead and pray before we go too much further. Dear Father in heaven, we just give you honor this morning. And if you're listening on podcast, we just give you honor. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you're a God that has shown us tremendous mercy. And Lord, through your grace, we have been lifted up as sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. What a great privilege and honor that is. Mm-hmm. I don't think we understand completely what that honor is. Lord, so reveal that to us today. I thank you for our guest this morning and how you have touched another life. Mm-hmm. Lord God, ask you just bless this moment in time. And those that are listening, may this be a treasure for you as you hear this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Gil, howdy.
Howdy. Howdy, how you doing, Kevin?
You know, to be bluntly honest with you, mm-hmm. I just came from, this broadcast is aired from South Bend, Indiana. Yeah. I just came from downtown South Bend. Mm-hmm. A lot of construction going on.
Lots.
And so I still kind of got the kind of thing.
Right, road
on.
Rage.
Mm-hmm. Road rage. And then I parked, and there's not much parking space mm-hmm. downtown. And I parked in a zone that I thought was perfectly okay. And there was this, I went to like this courtside ministry yeah. thing this morning to pray for people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm doing something good, right? and I hop in, and I get this ticket, and I'm like, So I still kind of got that kind of thing going on.
You should write in, yeah. right into the city, say, yeah. hey, it's like, I should be
like, somehow exempt, right?
Exempt. I was praying for people.
And
that
I was,
count for something.
I was going to get really ticked off, you know, but my sons were there, and I'm like, okay, you know, I got to present a godly father image.
So you did the godly image through gritty
teeth? Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And all things give
pay to Caesar is what is Caesar.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, that's where I'm at.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, good. But I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah, it's a good weekend, and it couldn't get any better. It was full,
nice.
But it was great.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was good.
Nice.
Yeah, but hey, without any further ado, we have a very special guest here with us this morning. Every guest is special.
Yes.
But Lachelle Barnett is the director and co-founder of Fathers First.
Yes.
And we have her here with us on the podcast / broadcast. And I'm very eager to hear her story. I know she's extremely transparent and loves to share the ultimate personal details of her life. And so we're going to have a great time this morning here. I'm just joking. But without any further ado, let me go ahead and introduce Lachelle Barnett. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Gil, even though you're slightly a jerk this morning.
This is the best in Christian programming, folks. So why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and just give the folks a little bit of glimpse of who you are.
Okay. I am from South Bend, mm-hmm. Early 30s. I have two children, mm-hmm. both boys, one in college, which is amazing.
Wonderful.
And then one that's going into the fourth grade. So
nice.
About 10 years apart. I work full time at Oak Lawn, which is a uh-huh. community mental health center in South Bend.
Yeah.
And then I run the nonprofit on the side. I'm actually going to be starting to teach at IU in the fall.
Wow. Okay.
So that should be pretty interesting. So pretty full life.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. From South Bend, you said?
Yep, from South Bend.
Okay, great. Well, maybe let's open up a little bit by just telling us a little bit how you came to the Lord and sort of what your journey has been.
Okay. So I grew up in church. I grew up pretty much in the same church my entire life.
Wow.
New Wings of Faith. Apostle Coates was the pastor for, you know, 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And so when you're growing up in the church, certain things are just mandatory. You know, you go to church, you go to Bible study, you do youth stuff. But in my adulthood, it's just so, so very different. And I'm learning how much of your childhood stuff plays into your relationship with God. So I grew up with a fair, you know, a fair amount of dysfunction. I have both of my parents were addicted to substances, and so we all got removed and had to be separated and to different family members. So I grew up actually with my aunt, who I call mom because I've been with her since I was just a little girl. And lots of stuff, you know, lots of stuff that I could say there. But one of the things that really stand out now that I'm an adult and walking with God is when you have two parents that aren't there, you have a lot of abandonment issues. You know, you just worry all the time about your ability to let go, I think, is an issue. And so I see that a lot in my relationship with God, my ability to trust him, my ability to really not be double-minded and have strong belief. I just see so much of that coming from my childhood. That is a struggle, I think. But I think the saving grace for me is that, you know, I grew up learning about God. And so even when I miss the mark, like, I know God knows my heart. And I know that he honors my efforts, you know, my efforts to keep my prayer time, my efforts to really speak life and, you know, all these different things that we're supposed to do as Christians. You know, I don't get it right all the time. You know, I got I got my own struggles. But what gives me peace is that I can go back to him and I can say, okay, God, I don't think I did that the way you, you know, had, you know, maybe wanted me to. But knowing that he loves you unconditionally is, like, phenomenal. Even if you struggle with it from time to time, that that really has been the thing that has been great for me in my adult relationship. That really has come from having a really strong foundation of church and God and, you know, godly people.
How
was your aunt? You mentioned that you lived with your aunt. And how was, how you know, obviously that had to be a struggle. That's what you just mentioned of not having your birth parents there. What age did that happen? And how was that transition, I guess?
So one, I don't remember a lot of it. So I was two. We were all pretty young when we got separated. So I've been with her my my entire life, basically, and call her mom. And, you know, again, it's interesting because in my early adult stages, I really had a different perspective on kind of my relationship with my aunt. So in the beginning, it was, you know, she stepped in and did some things she didn't have to do. You know, I mean, she made it, you know, all parents make a ton of sacrifices. And they become maybe even greater sacrifices when they're not your actual children. And so in addition, she was very aware of the abandonment kinds of stuff. And so, you know, when I was young, I would cry every time you dropped me off somewhere. I wasn't sure whether you were going to come back. And so my aunt was very intentional about being present. So every basketball game, every school event, you know, picking me up at the same time at daycare, all of those things were really important. And so physically, she was awesome. And, you know, just stepped in a way that you just, you honor. And so, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you like that, that was really my focus. But when I start looking at my relationship with God and how I'm walking that out, and even when I see my relationship with my own children, you know, parenting is so much more than just being present physically. Like, there's an emotional aspect that goes there too. And so while my mother was, my aunt, was very present physically, she was not nearly as present emotionally. And so, you know, it's been a struggle for me because on the one hand, you really want to honor her and, you know, really acknowledge the fact that she's been incredible. But then there's such a gap that,
She's, you know, still human.
That's right. So, you know, it's the good with the bad, just like everything else.
And how was that with, you've got two children, and if you could just share a little bit about that.
Oh, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. Open up a can of worms there.
So I would say, you know, we repeat our parents more than, I mean, whether we like it or whether we not, the good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was the same way.
Yeah.
You know, very physically present, you know, basketball mom and soccer mom and, you know, all of these kind of physically present kind of things, making sure that my kids had what they needed and never lacked from that perspective. But emotionally, I just, you know, first of all, I was, you know, another part of my testimony is that I was pregnant very young.
Yeah.
So I was 14 when I got pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And so you can't parent somebody when you're 14.
Right.
I literally,
still need to be parented.
That's right. I literally know nothing about life at that point.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole level of mistakes that come with that.
Mm.
But just from looking at my relationship with my aunt and how that, you know, then reflects my own parenting, it's very similar, unfortunately, is that, you know, physically always there, but emotionally hard to tap in and hard to really be there in the way that you know you need to. But if you've never been taught a thing, it's hard to produce it when you've never, even if you know it's important, it's still hard to produce.
Sure.
So.
Wow. It's like you keep saying what I'm getting ready to say.
Sorry.
Oh, you said it. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, you think you grow up in a church environment. You grow up with people being present, and you don't realize that you can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
And, you know, I look at I'm thinking about my own growing up and what my parents passed down and even what they didn't. And, you know, when you become a parent, you realize, wow, I don't think I was taught that, you know, but then you become a parent. You're like, I'm not teaching it and I'm not passing it down as well. So I think parenthood makes you very aware of what it is you have, what, you know, having the goods to pass along and even those that you don't.
Absolutely.
So, wow. Thank you. So for being so open about that as well. Why don't we do this? We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back after these commercial messages, and we're going to come back and delve a little bit into what LaShelle is doing now in light of how she grew up and her experiences and how she's used all those life experiences to do what she's doing professionally and also with Fathers First Initiative. So we'll be right back right after this.
Great.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
So, let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
All right, and we are back with our special guest, LaShelle Barnett. She is one of the co-founders and directors of Fathers First Initiative, also works at Oaklawn, and has been sharing her testimony. And so, LaShelle, we were talking about how you grew up and the mistakes that we learn and make as parents. What is probably one of the biggest takeaways you've learned as a parent of two boys in 2016? In this day and time, what is one of the biggest lessons you're learning as a parent in light of your own growing up?
I would say there's not one. There's 92,000. But I think probably one of the biggest takeaways that I look at is the importance of fathers. When I look at my own life and haven't seen my father in, I don't know, 25 years, but then also seeing it in my children and you know, having children that they're, one of their fathers is not nearly as involved and hasn't, you know, it's just not active. And how much internal stuff that builds, you know, for your children. And the longer I parent, the more I understand the things that I just can't give you, no matter how much I'd like to. There's a line, you know, parenting is set up for two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you don't have that, everything's out of balance. I mean, I could just go on and on about the struggles of being a single parent, and not struggles, you know, economically, or, you know, I'm talking about just being able to give your children what they need.
Right.
You know, it is almost impossible unless you build a community of people around you that are going to kind of step in.
Right.
But just as you as a parent, like, either you're exhausted and so you're snapping and angry, or, you know, you're working hard because there's only one income. Like, there's so many different vantage points to look at that.
Right.
But I would say that's the biggest takeaway that I have, is that both parents matter. Like, they're invaluable.
Right. Well, cool. Well, tell us, I guess it's a good segue, to tell us what you're doing now with Fathers First. Tell us a little bit about Fathers First, how it got started, and kind of what you're doing now.
Okay. So Fathers First is a very new nonprofit organization that started almost 3 years ago. We're beginning our third year here. And it was started by three of us who really had no plan, no strategy, not much of anything, except for knowing we wanted to do something for fathers. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of understood the importance of fathers. And so we put together this event called a Father's Picnic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we spent a couple of months planning it, and it turned out to be phenomenal. We had like over 200 people show up.
Wow.
And
that's great.
Chief of police. Like, we just had a great turnout. We did free haircuts and free food and, you know, lots of activities. And so because the event went so well, we decided, okay, well, let's just keep having events and, you know, really stressing the importance of spending time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we hear about fathers who struggle to have strong relationships because they don't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
But what matters more than money is your time.
Right.
And so that we chose to make that kind of our focus and put on an event kind of every other month, where we would either, at least in the beginning, we were doing a lot of out-of-pocket stuff and paying for it ourselves. And as time went on, we were able to get grants. And so our idea was to underwrite the cost of all of our events to where it becomes more affordable for fathers. So sometimes it's events that we're doing ourselves. Sometimes there are events in the community that are already happening that we just kind of piggyback off of. Mm-hmm. And so we pay for half, and then the father pays for half.
Good.
Or, you know, some version of that. And so I've done that for 2 years and have been, you know, pretty successful for a new organization. We probably average 75 people at every single one of our events.
Great. Wow.
Always a good time, no drama. It's just really been phenomenal. And so now what we're working on is shifting from less kind of an event-based organization and more programs and services that are ongoing, because we know that in order to really affect change, you're not going to do it through these kinds of one-time events. That really is just about engaging fathers and engaging children and helping us kind of bridge the gap. But it's a great start, but there's tons of work to do.
Awesome. Let me ask you, how has that been? It sounds like a very good reception in the community. Would that be an accurate statement, or no? Have you had any kickback of any kind that says, well, why fathers first? You know, why not mothers first? You know?
I would say the overwhelming response has been positive.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to understand the issues around fatherlessness and really love what we're doing.
Yeah.
I would say there's always some, as always, who want to know why we're not including mothers' rights or why a woman is running a father-dominated organization. That's a big one. We've also had questions about race, because the three of us who have started the organization are black.
Sure.
And so we predominantly attract a black audience.
Sure, right.
And so most of our events have been, you know, 80% black and maybe 20% other races.
Right.
And so while there have been questions and, you know, why this and why that, overwhelmingly people love who we are and what we do.
Yeah. It is a great organization. And the moment I heard about it, I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. So many times dads do get, in our culture, get put to the, just not to the side. They get they get pushed out.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And so what has been some of the take from some of the stories you've been hearing from it, because you're holding these events from different of the fathers and their reactions, and how does that work so far with between a just some of the, can you share some of the experiences that you've had? You mentioned
testimony.
Testimony,
of a father who went, like, man.
And I kind of throw this at you in the last second here, but, you know, just some thoughts that maybe you can think of where you've seen some impact, I guess.
So I would say experiences all across the board. So I remember we were throwing a bowling event.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we probably had 85 people there. And so it was a little bit, I mean, everybody's going everywhere. And I brought my son, my 9-year-old. Mm. And he usually comes to most of our events.
Yeah.
And so he asked me, he's like, Mom, why do you keep doing this? Like, why do we keep coming to these events? He's somewhat annoyed.
Yeah.
Really, Mom? Yeah.
That's right. He wants to do something electronic.
Right.
And so I told him, you know, fathers are really important, and we really want to stress that. And we started talking about his own dad and how much he matters. And he just looked at me in a way that I have not seen before. Mm-hmm. And so there's some of that is the personal, you know, experiences that I've seen with children, specifically my own, that are like really mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And then some of them are actual stories from fathers. So we have people who kind of write us in on Facebook.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page and a website. And I got one from a dad in February that really stood out. The South Bend Parks and Recreation throws a father-daughter dance every year in our community.
Nice.
And so what we do, the tickets are $17. And so what we do is we underwrite the cost and make them more affordable. The first year we sold them for two for $15.
Wow.
And then the second year I think we sold them for $10.
Okay.
And so because our tickets are more affordable, it just lets more fathers be able to come.
Yeah.
And so this father in particular wrote in and talked about how he had been incarcerated for the last couple of years and had lost out a ton of experiences with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to come to this event made him feel like a king to his princesses.
Wow.
And it was just like he, you know, gave his little short testimony and talked about how transformational the experience was for him.
Yeah.
And so knowing that we're providing those opportunities for fathers is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, let me ask you just something that's just really hit me, and that is, on my own story, it's hard for me to completely relate because I did have a dad that I would look at him, and when I look at my Heavenly Father, my dad didn't obviously measure up to my Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
However, I could always depend on him, and even if he would be 2 hours late to picking me up,
mm-hmm.
I knew he was going to come, right?
And so I
will miss him when the Lord takes him,
mm-hmm.
and he's in his 80s now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a legacy that he's left for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand on that avenue of the importance of fathers. You have a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
How can you just share from a mother's point of view, from a daughter's point of view, can you share just a little bit the importance of fathers, if you could do that?
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really, it would take me a week to try to explain it in a way that is really clear. But, you know, we always talk about fathers and sons and fathers and sons mm-hmm. and how important it is for boys to have their fathers. And that is so true. No question about that. But sometimes the daughters kind of get skipped over because, you know, you should really be more motherly and mm-hmm. that kind of a thing. But, you know, my own personal belief, growing up in church and really being having a strong connection to Heroes Camp, so Heroes Camp and New Wings of Faith was hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, growing up under Pat Magley and
just
hearing so much about the pattern of fathers and sons, and I feel like I have a unique perspective. Anybody who grew up under New Wings of Faith and Heroes Camp is going to have a unique perspective on fathering because it was a big message that got promoted.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, fathers are meant to provide a level of identity and a level of protection and security. And so if you grow up without that, I mean, you remove everything. You know, like there's such an internal battle that happens when you don't have that protection, when you don't have, you know, somebody speaking life into you in that way. Mm. And, you know, whether we like it or not, it is very different having a mother say one thing and the father could be saying the same exact thing, but it's coming from
weight.
A different, that's right. Whether we, I mean, that's just the truth of it. And so it's not to take away from anything from my mother, but it just, there's always, I feel like there's always going to be a longing there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a grown person and I got a lot
it's
of stuff happening
right.
and there is not a day that, well, there might be days.
Yeah.
but generally speaking, I would almost do anything, even now, mm-hmm. as an adult, to just be around my father and be a mm-hmm. little girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't get to experience that. And I think that becomes the issue for a lot of our kids, is when you lack love, you just go searching for it.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking, like, love is a universal need.
Yeah.
Everybody has to have it.
It is.
And if you don't get it, you figure out another way to fill that gap. And most of the time, that is unhealthy.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I don't even have the words to be able to explain the impact that fathers have on their daughters.
I think it's so powerful. And I just want to say, before we, if we lose time, thank you for what you do.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think I said it one day when I was preaching. I said, if you can if you look at all the what is going on in our society and our culture,
mm-hmm.
I believe 90% of it can be traced back to
absolutely
or the lack thereof,
or parents,
right. or parenting. Yeah,
fathers for sure. But I think so much of who we become has to do with your childhood,
right?
Yeah,
and say identity. I mean, why do kids go out and do violent things? It's because they don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're lacking identity, of security, of protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's just one of the things that's missing. You watch TV now,
mm-hmm.
and almost every sitcom, the dad is usually some, mm-hmm. you know, he's like some bumbling idiot, or he's so like emotionally and mentally checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the mother's the strong one, and. Mm-hmm. Even now, you see, like, you get in front of the camera. Thanks, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, how about Dad? Am I going to thank Dad? You know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
those images have a really lasting impact on how we our culture.
Like, they absolutely do.
It just becomes acceptable that Dad's not really there.
He's not present.
That's right.
He doesn't matter.
That's right.
And so that's why I even love the name Fathers First. And it's not about who's the most important. It's just there's an order to a foundation of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I just have to say. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah, thank you.
How can people get in contact with you if they need to? I know you mentioned Facebook.
Yeah, so we definitely have a Facebook page. That's probably the easiest and best way to keep track of what we have going on, especially from an event-based perspective. We also have a website, which is fathersfirstgroup.com. It's going to tell you a little bit of everything. It's got our contact information on there, but it also talks about all of the events we have coming up, the programs we offer, all of that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you. Also,
thank
you can hit
thank
us up on our Facebook as well. Thanks so much for being here, Lachelle. And look for more information. We'll try to put that in the show notes and put a link to the website in case you didn't get it earlier.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin. Would you mind praying?
Sure, that'd be great. Father, again, we just give you praise and honor. Thank you so much for this time in which we can hear the importance of fathers. Lord, you are our great Father, and you are a good, good Father,
mm-hmm.
Lord. And we thank you that we can run to you when this world seems all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord God, I thank you for the joy that you give to us as a result of our relationship with you. Lord, may the world know of your goodness. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories. So drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.